In 1978, Susan Eisenberg was among the first six women who entered the apprenticeship training program of Boston's Local 103 of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. She's now a master electrician, as well as a poet and writer. In two new books, a volume of poetry called Pioneering, and an oral history called We'll Call You If We Need You, she gives readers a view into the embattled world of women construction workers. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
Susan Eisenberg's new volume of poems about the dangers, hostilities, and occasional rewards she and other women have experienced working construction is called Pioneering. That sounds like a celebratory title until you read Eisenberg's introduction and learn that federal affirmative action guidelines opened the way for women to enter the construction trades in 1978. Since then, women electricians, carpenters, iron workers, painters, and plumbers have been stuck in the pioneering phase, never rising much beyond 2% of the total construction workforce. As Eisenberg's biting poems attest, it's not been for want of trying. Here's part of one entitled Partner Number 5, in which she describes the tactile feel of construction work as well as the misogyny hovering over the job site. A vault full of 8-foot fluorescents to hang, they stand in separate lifts, movements synchronized, hoist each fixture, drill, and bolt overhead. How much easier it might be if he spoke to her. As she squeezes fingers through a tiny opening to grab wires, she teases about the convenience of small hands. I can do anything in this business, he snarls, and again, silence. The 30 tradeswomen who Eisenberg interviewed for her other book, an oral history called We'll Call You If We Need You, sometimes sound like poets too, like apprentice Hart Crane's or Walt Whitman's, when they're describing the joy of making something lasting and awesome with their hands. Construction worker Lorraine Bertoza, who worked on a skyscraper for 3 years, tells Eisenberg, "When I worked at the top, I was doing parapet walls on the edge of the building. We were hanging off the side on guy lines and safety belts. It was our own world. When you get a pause, you just take in the magnitude of where you are. You can see forever, you know, 45 stories up. It's something most people don't get to do." But as Eisenberg's interviewees also disclose, those moments of transcendence have been dearly paid for by years of muscle aches, pain in the neck harassment, and sometimes life-threatening sabotage. Eisenberg arranges her interviews thematically so that together they compose a frustrating coming-of-age narrative about women still struggling to secure their place in the construction trades. In the early chapters of Eisenberg's book, this first generation of tradeswomen talks about being attracted to construction work for the same reasons as their male counterparts, the promise of good wages and work that wouldn't confine them to an office. Just as predictable are the pornographic pinups and dirty jokes that greeted them once they made it to the job site. The strength of We'll Call You If We Need You, however, is the nuanced composite picture it assembles of tradeswomen's experiences. On her second day at the construction site, carpenter Kathy Walsh was pushed down a 40-foot embankment by a co-worker, while all but one of the rest of the men watched. Some other women lucked out and had supportive foremen, good partners, and unions that backed them up. We hear about women losing fingers and hands because no one taught them how to use their tools properly. We also hear about deliberate accidents designed to make their female victims look incompetent. Like most work stories, these also contain grim humor. Bridge painter Deb Williams almost killed her partner by refusing to crawl over his body and hook him to a girder. She thought she was being sexually harassed. Meanwhile, he was being blown off the bridge. Eisenberg just doesn't throw up her hands at the end of We'll Call You If We Need You and leave women construction workers' fates up to individual acts of benevolence. She makes a persuasive case for beefing up affirmative action guidelines and revising archaic union apprenticeship programs that were designed with 18-year-old men in mind. Given the stories she's collected here, it sounds like a few sledgehammer blows to some well-chosen heads wouldn't hurt either.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed two books by Susan Eisenberg, Pioneering, Poems from the Construction Site, and We'll Call You If We Need You, Experiences of Women Working Construction.